What if your next high-performance semiconductor or life-saving cancer therapeutic wasn't made in a clean room in Texas or Switzerland, but in a zero-gravity factory orbiting 250 miles above your head?
It's not a hypothetical, Susie. By May of this year, a U.S. company called Varda Space Industries had already completed its sixth in-orbit manufacturing mission. The orbital factory floor is now open for business, and the implications for terrestrial manufacturing are profound.
Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology that's reshaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. This week, we're tracking three seismic shifts happening just beyond our atmosphere. First, the race to commercialize in-space manufacturing is accelerating, with U.S. and European startups creating materials that are simply impossible to produce on Earth.
We'll then turn to the battle for global connectivity, where Amazon is making a high-stakes move against Starlink's dominance, promising to rewire how data moves around the planet.
And finally, we'll cover the dawn of the in-orbit service economy. A new class of robotic vehicles is turning satellites from disposable assets into serviceable infrastructure, fundamentally changing the economics of space.
Okay, Troy, you mentioned Varda Space has completed six missions. What exactly are they and others like them making up there?
They're focused on high-value products where microgravity provides a killer advantage. The absence of convection and sedimentation allows for the growth of near-perfect crystals. Varda, for example, successfully crystallized the anti-HIV drug ritonavir on its first flight back in 2023.
So this is primarily for pharmaceuticals?
That's a major driver, but it's much broader. The UK and Swiss governments just launched a partnership to revitalize the $300 billion pharmaceutical R&D market using microgravity. But we're also seeing breakthroughs in materials. Redwire, another U.S. firm, is manufacturing Z-Blan optical fiber on the International Space Station.
Z-Blan, what is that, and why make it in space?
Z-Blan is a specialty optical fiber. On Earth, gravity causes tiny crystal imperfections to form during production, which limits its clarity. In space, red wire can produce fiber that is potentially orders of magnitude clearer, which could revolutionize long-distance telecommunications and quantum computing. It's the same principle driving semiconductor development by companies like Voyager Technologies and United Semiconductors. They're aiming to grow perfect silicon carbide wafers for next-generation AI chips.
Okay, so this is a new frontier for high-tech production. How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers on the ground?
It's both a massive opportunity and a competitive threat. For European pharmaceutical giants and U.S. chip designers, this opens an entirely new R&D and production pathway for novel drugs and materials. But it also means a new generation of startups like Varda and the UK Spaceforge are building supply chains that originate in orbit. If established players don't engage, they risk being leapfrogged.
And for trading companies and distributors, this sounds like a logistical nightmare.
It's a new asset class. These are ultra-high-value, low-volume goods. The challenge isn't shipping containers, it's managing the re-entry and secure retrieval of small capsules. Companies that specialize in high-value logistics and can navigate the regulatory framework for space-returned materials will find a lucrative niche.
So, what's the actionable insight for an executive listening right now?
Your R&D division must start treating microgravity as a variable in your manufacturing process. Start now. Secure a spot on a commercial research platform to test your key compounds or materials in space. The cost of entry is falling, and the learning curve is steep. Waiting could mean missing the boat entirely.
Troy, let's move to connectivity. Most of our listeners are familiar with SpaceX's Starlink, but a new announcement from Amazon seems to be changing the game.
That's right. Amazon's LEO satellite constellation, now named Amazon LEO, just announced that every satellite will be equipped with 100 gigabits per second optical inter-satellite links.
Translate that for me. What does an optical inter-satellite link actually do?
Think of it as fiber optic cable in space, but using lasers to transmit data between the satellites. This creates a high-speed mesh network in orbit. Data can be routed around the world from satellite to satellite without having to constantly bounce down to a ground station and back up.
So it's faster and more direct. Why is this such a big deal now? Starlink also uses lasers.
Amazon's strategy is to build a network that is fully meshed with these 100 gigabit per second links from day one, aiming to minimize reliance on ground gateways. This is critical for low latency service over oceans or in remote polar regions.
Critically, Amazon has also just filed an application to launch a direct-to-device or D2D system.
So it's my standard smartphone could connect directly to a satellite?
Precisely. This combination of an intelligent, self-routing orbital network and direct device connectivity is a direct challenge to Starlink. It aims to bypass traditional ground infrastructure almost entirely for certain data paths.
What does this competition mean for U.S. and European manufacturers?
It means guaranteed high-speed connectivity is becoming a utility, even for the most remote facilities. Think of an automated factory in rural North America or a mining operation in the Arctic. It also enables robust, real-time data from IoT sensors across your entire global supply chain with no dead zones.
And for trading and logistics companies?
For them, this is transformative. It means continuous, high-bandwidth tracking of every ship, plane, and truck anywhere on the planet. Maritime logistics, which often goes dark mid-ocean, can now be fully integrated into real-time digital platforms. This could unlock predictive analytics for arrival times and supply chain disruptions on a scale we haven't seen before.
The actionable insight here?
Start modeling your business operations for a world of ubiquitous, low-latency connectivity. Where could you deploy IoT sensors if there were no coverage gaps? How would your logistics strategy change if you had perfect real-time visibility? The winners will be those who re-architect their digital infrastructure to capitalize on this new reality before their competitors do.
Finally, Troy, let's talk about the lifespan of these assets. Satellites are notoriously expensive, and when they break or run out of fuel, that's it. Is that about to change?
It just did. On July 23rd, Northrop Grumman successfully launched its Mission Robotic Vehicle, or MRV. This is essentially a robotic service station for satellites in orbit.
So it can actually dock with another satellite and perform repairs?
Exactly. It's equipped with robotic arms developed with DARPA. It can perform high-resolution inspections, repair damaged components, relocate a satellite to a new orbit, and, most importantly, extend its life.
How does it do that?
It carries what are called Mission Extension Pods, or MEPs. These are small jetpacks the MRV can attach to a client satellite. An MEP can provide propulsion for several additional years, long after the satellite's own fuel has run out. It's also designed to support future passive refueling modules.
This sounds like a fundamental shift. What does it mean for manufacturers who rely on satellite services, like telecommunications or GPS?
It dramatically de-risks their business model. A multi-billion-dollar satellite constellation is no longer a depreciating asset with a fixed 5 to 10 year lifespan. It's now a maintainable piece of infrastructure. This enhances operational resilience and protects massive capital investments. It also allows for in-orbit upgrades, keeping technology current without a full replacement launch.
And for trading companies, is there a role for them here?
The on-orbit servicing market itself is a new B2B frontier. We're seeing startups like Orbeez in California unveil inspection satellites like the ExoOrb. This creates opportunities for sourcing and distributing the highly specialized components needed for these robotic service vehicles: robotics, sensors, propulsion pods. It's the birth of an industrial supply chain for space maintenance.
What should executives be doing about this now?
If your business is critically dependent on space infrastructure, you need to reassess your risk and continuity plans. Ask your satellite service providers how they are incorporating on-orbit servicing into their fleet management. For investors, this marks a maturation of the space economy from a launch-focused model to a sustainable service-based ecosystem.
All right, Troy, let's distill this into our three key takeaways for the week.
First, in-space manufacturing is no longer theoretical. U.S. and European leaders in pharmaceuticals, semiconductors, and advanced materials must actively explore microgravity R&D now. The competitive threat comes from new space-native companies creating superior products that can't be replicated on Earth.
Second, the battle for global satellite connectivity is entering a new phase. The intense competition between Amazon LEO and SpaceX Starlink will drive down costs and create a new standard of ubiquitous, low-latency internet. Businesses should be planning for how this transforms logistics and remote operations.
And third, space assets are becoming repairable. The success of on-orbit servicing vehicles from companies like Northrop Grumman fundamentally changes the financial and operational calculus of space infrastructure. It creates a more sustainable, resilient, and ultimately more valuable space economy.
So the action items are: experiment with manufacturing in orbit, re-architect for total connectivity, and reevaluate your space-based risk models.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. The intelligence we've discussed today will shape supply chains, competitive landscapes, and investment strategies for years to come.
Join us again next week as we continue to track the critical technology developments impacting your business.
Make sure you're subscribed to Troy Technical Intelligence wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an update. Thank you for listening.